Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host, Ken Johnston. Unfortunately, Father McKay is unable to join us today. Father came down with the flu or a cold or something yesterday. And you trust me, you wouldn't want to hear his voice today after the way it sounded yesterday. So we'll pray for him in a minute here. But I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. The first hour, we'll be talking about a couple of saints in the liturgical calendar, the presentation of our Lord. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, I'll be joined by Debbie Cowden, and we'll be talking about her great book, Prayer for Tired Parents. And you're going to want to stick around for that. It's pretty interesting. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Our Matt Talbot Shrine is alive and well in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Streets in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Come on down on Tuesdays and Thursdays between 9 and 5 and visit the Cathedral of South Philadelphia. And while you're in the church, you can stop by our Matt Talbot Shrine as well. And we had a real nice crowd there a couple of Tuesday nights ago for our third Tuesday Matt Talbot healing benediction and mass. And a number of people that were there for the first time commenting on how beautiful that church is. So by all means, come down and pay us a visit. If you are going to come down, reach out to us through the Our House Ministries website. And let us know you're coming, and Father and I can make arrangements to catch up with you over in the church. All right, so let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Most Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. St. Maximilian Kolbe and Venerable Matt Talbot, pray for us. St. Mark G. and St. Monica, pray for us. All the angels and saints, pray for us. And as long as we're praying, just a couple of prayer requests here. One is for Jeremy. I have a note from Kathleen that Jeremy's waiting on. He's on a waiting list for a kidney. So we just ask you, Heavenly Father, to do what you can according to your will in order to allow Jeremy to receive this much needed kidney that he needs. We know that in order for that to happen, a sacrifice must be made on somebody else's part. So we just ask that that you continue to connect the dots and match up the donor with Jeremy so that Jeremy can get that much-needed kidney. And we ask this as we ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, ask your prayers for Father McKay for a speedy recovery. Hopefully, he'll be back with us next Wednesday. And last but not least, yours truly could use a few prayers. I actually have to meet with a surgeon tomorrow for a follow-up surgery to what we thought was a routine appendectomy back in October. But they found some stuff in the pathology from the appendix, and it looks like they may need to go back in again. So I'll learn more tomorrow, but if you could just keep me in your prayers, I would certainly appreciate it. Nothing major right now, but like I say, I'll find out more in the next few days as to what's actually going to happen here. So we ask all this. We put this all in God's hands. And really, brothers and sisters, that's the beauty of our Catholic faith, of having a Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ, that in the case of Jeremy, in the case of Father, in my own situation, God already knows the outcome. You know, we pray for for our will to be in line with His, that we accept whatever it is that comes our way, and ask for the grace to get through it. And then, like I said, God does everything for our own good, and we may not see that when we're going through it, especially my brothers and sisters that struggle with addiction. You know, you would ask, why in the world would God ever let somebody struggle with sometimes a life-threatening and a life-taking disease like addiction? And, you know, how many miracles we've seen of people that come through the other side, and because of their struggles with addiction, they become wounded healers. They become daily communicants and play pivotal roles in their parishes and in our Catholic Church. So, you know, when we're in the throes of it, you know, we can't see that. It's only in hindsight that we look back at the trials and tribulations, the crosses that God's allowed us to carry, and see how we benefit from them. And nobody likes crosses. Nobody wants crosses. There's been a few saints that have prayed for them. But the older I get and the more experience you have with these crosses, you come to accept them, realizing that a greater good's always going to come from it, whether it's for yourself individually, for those that you love perhaps, and perhaps for people you don't even know, especially if you're, you know, consecrated to Jesus through Mary, and you offer up those sufferings to Mary and the graces that come from for her to distribute as she sees fit. And she certainly knows better than we do as to how those graces can best be distributed. When we're going through these things, to be able to offer up that suffering that we may experience for the good of others, for the souls in purgatory, for our deceased family members and loved ones, and for those that are still walking around on this planet in need of prayer and grace. So without that, you know, suffering really has no meaning. And you can see why people would get upset if they don't have God in their life when suffering comes their way. You know, it's always, why me, why me? As Catholics and Christians, we can turn around and respond, you know, why not me? We see all the suffering that's going on in the world, and some of us are blessed to avoid it for long periods of time, and sometimes it catches up with us, sometimes it doesn't. But when it does, it doesn't mean everything's peaches and cream, and we don't get a little anxious or a little worried perhaps. But, you know, I take reassurance knowing that God already knows the outcome. I just need to persevere and ask for the grace to, you know, go through the experience. Again, knowing that that God's allowing it to happen for my benefit and the benefit of those that we pray for. So that said, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Use that toll-free number, especially if you're listening from a distance, perhaps over our website at inhissign.com. Speaking of the website, it's usually within a week of having all the recorded shows uploaded and available on the content page at our website. Go to inhissign.com, click on content, and then podcasts, and you'll see all the recordings there. If you miss a show or you want to re-listen to a show that you particularly liked, and again, I try to do that on Thursday or Friday after I'm here on Wednesday and collect them. All right, especially want your phone calls. When we get to the bottom of the hour, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the break. If God's touched you in a particular way over the last couple of weeks and you want to witness to our brothers and sisters, because that's one of the things that we as Catholics aren't that great at, is witnessing to one another what God's done in our own lives. And you have a great opportunity to do it today. by calling in. Again, I'll give out the phone numbers just before 4:30. But I'm solo today, so feel free to call in at any time. Otherwise, you're going to listen to me rattle on for the next hour. All right, we are currently in the fourth week in ordinary time. It's hard to believe that it's already February 1st. Time just keeps on moving. This week in the liturgical calendar, yesterday, we celebrated St. John Bosco. Tomorrow, the 2nd, we celebrate the presentation of the Lord. And on Friday, the 3rd, we will celebrate St. Blaise. So I thought there's no saint for today, February 1st, so I thought perhaps we would start with St. John Bosco. And I had St. John Bosco here just a minute ago. And it's a shame Father McKay's not with us. He actually, when he started down the path of becoming a priest, he didn't start out as a diocesan priest. He actually started out as a in the Salesians. And, of course, the Salesians were founded by St. John Bosco. And what's interesting about him is one of the visions that he had, and, you know, some people talk about it today as if maybe now's the time that he was thinking about. And there had been in the vision, he sees a ship that was anchored, and it becomes unanchored and gets involved with some other ships, and they're shooting cannons, booklets, books, pamphlets, all kinds of stuff is being hurled at this ship. Bad weather, getting tossed and turned, and you know, it doesn't look good for the ship. And the ship's actually being captained by the Pope, and at some point the Pope that's leading the ship and captaining the ship dies, and the next Pope is elected almost immediately, so that when they announce that the one Pope has died, they announce that the new Pope has already been elected and name him. And as it continues to be throttled by the enemy, they come upon two large cylinders, two large poles in the water. And on top of one is our Blessed Mother under the title of Our Lady, Help of Christians. And on above the other one is a communion host. And somehow or other, the ship manages to sail between the two and then is able to anchor to the two of them and survive. And so, you know, the message that we take, of course, is that, you know, when we put ourselves between the two hearts, when we put ourselves between Jesus Christ, especially in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and Communion, and our Blessed Lady, that we are anchored. We were anchored in our faith, and you know, can overcome just about anything that comes our way. And, you know, especially in this day and age, whether or not what John Bosco envisioned is exactly what's playing out today, you know, we're never sure, never guaranteed. This is something that that he had seen. But it certainly seems like it right now. Some of the issues that are going on in our country, in the world, within our own church, and the controversies that are there. It seems like these are some at times horrendous times. And you know, I take solace in the fact that it's not human beings that are in charge here. We may think that we are, but God's really the one in charge. And if He wants to fix it, He'll fix it. And if He already knows how He's going to do it. Those of you that you know, listen on Wednesdays, and especially the last Wednesday of the month when we talk about the gift of the divine will, and some of the guests that I've had on in the past, like a Daniel O'Connor or a Christine Watkins, where we talk about the coming warning or the chastisement. We know that God has a plan. And, you know, some are, you know, saying it's coming as early as next week when the Super Bowl goes off. But definitely seem to believe that, you know, something is coming, and it's coming soon. I don't know how much longer we can continue, that God can continue to allow us to go down this path that we're on. But I've come to learn week by week, month by month, the number of people that are praying for that to happen, for just that to happen, because it seems to be the only solution. We look at the so-called leaders of the world, whether it's the politicians, the leaders of churches, and what have you, and it doesn't seem like anybody has the real solution. But as Catholics, as Christians, we know the solution. The solution is God. And, you know, he's been, especially in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and, you know, he's allowed his mother to appear, I think, more times in the 20th and 21st centuries than at any other time in history. And the message is always the same, you know, repent and go to my son, repent and go to my son. And, you know, we just continue to, when I say we, I mean the collective world, not we as in you and I and our listeners. Because I think we're on the other side of that, especially those that are regular listeners. You know, we know who's in control. It's those that were that aren't on our team, if you will, that continue to head down this path to perdition that Pope John Paul II talked about and Benedict XVI talked about. And there is a solution. Just like we say all the time when we get into the conversation about alcoholism and addiction, there is a solution, and that solution's God. And with every other illness and ailment and controversy and issue that we have in this world, there's one solution and only one solution, and that's God. And, you know, if we turn to him, pray to him, ask him to intervene, that he will, maybe not in the way that we expect or the way that we might want, but he'll intervene. And even if we don't see the great chastisement or the warning, or we don't see the going back to the prelapsarian times of Adam and Eve in the next couple of months or couple of years, to know that it's coming, and and in between now and then, God will continue to pour out his grace on each and every one of us, because where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And, you know, the grace is flowing from our Lord, especially since there's so many people that don't want it, don't accept it, don't ask for it. Our Blessed Mother herself said it when the miraculous medal, the design was given and the medal struck, of why there weren't rays coming from each one of the fingers in her hands. If you look closely at the metal, you'll notice that there's a couple of fingers where the rays aren't coming from. And when asked why that was, she said, because those are the graces that aren't being asked for. So ask for them. Don't ever hesitate to ask for the grace to get through whatever it is that you're facing, even if it's just to get through a routine day, because none of it happens without the grace of God. So back to St. John Bosco, the other interesting thing about him, of many, of course, is the devotion he had to young men, that he saw what was going on in his time. He was born August 16th, 1815, and died on January the 31st in the year 1888. And he wanted to be a priest from early on. And unlike some of the other saints, his parents were up for it, I guess. He becomes a priest. And then that's what his goal was. That's what his aim was, to work with young boys. He's ordained in 1841, so it would have been at the age of 26. And immediately his service to young people would begin after he met an orphan in Turin. He would prepare him to receive his Holy Communion. And after that, he would gather other young people and would teach them their catechism. He served as a chaplain in a hospice for working girls. And then he would open the oratory of St. Francis de Sales for boys. And that's what would eventually lead to him founding the Salesians in 1854. But prior to that, he would open workshops for the boys. He would teach them things like shoemaking and tailoring. Eventually, he would teach them how to print. He would get printing presses, and then from that would print pamphlets and what have you. And again, all with the idea of giving these boys and young men an opportunity to learn a trade and be able to take care of themselves. So as a result, John Bosco would become the patron of young apprentices as well as Catholic publishers. As mentioned, with Pius XI's encouragement, John got 17 men together. He founded the Salesians in 1859. Initially, their activity concentrated on education and mission work, and then later he would organize a group of women who would become the Salesian Sisters and would assist girls in such a way that he was assisting the boys. One of the things to note is that he really supported frequent confession and frequent reception of Holy Communion. And, it's interesting in our day and age here in 2023, I think it's difficult for some of us to imagine that there was ever a time where you couldn't receive communion on a daily basis. And I think part of that's because we're fortunate enough to live in in an area here in southeastern Pennsylvania, or if you're in an area nearby, or you live in a metropolitan area, that there's parishes nearby that have Mass just about every day, if not every day. Sometimes I wish our parishes would coordinate their Mass times so that they don't all have Mass at the exact same time in case we oversleep or it's not convenient. But, the idea that here in Philadelphia, just about any day, I can find Mass anywhere from 6:30 in the morning until at least noon at the shrine in Germantown, the Miraculous Metal Shrine. There's evening Masses in some places. Some may be harder to find than others, but the idea that we can get the daily Mass and receive Holy Communion, I think sometimes we take for granted. I know I took it for granted for years, knowing that it was always there, but it's I'll get there tomorrow, or I'll start going every day next week, or I'll start going every day as part of a New Year's resolution. And there's no reason why we can't start doing it today, or since it's 4 in the afternoon, it might be a little difficult to find Mass today, but start tomorrow. And the people that I know that are daily communicants that make an effort to celebrate Mass and assist at Mass every day are some of the happiest, most joy-filled people that I've ever met. And I know that not everybody's situation allows that, especially if you're married and working and have kids, that it's not always the easiest situation. But sometimes we can find ways to make it happen. I know when I was still working out in King of Prussia, one of the greatest gifts I got was finding out that St. Isaac Jodes had a noon Mass, so I could go to Mass on my lunch hour. And I believe they still have that Mass, St. John the Evangelist, in Center City. Like I mentioned, the Miraculous Metal Shrine on Chilton Avenue in Germantown. These are just some of the places that have Mass that you can attend on your lunch hour. So I think if we really want to make the effort, we might be able to find it. But again, I would never accuse anybody of slacking if they don't, because sometimes our schedules just don't permit it. But, the fact that it's there should give us some consolation to know that, if we can't make it every day, that at least we know where it is. My brothers and sisters that are in recovery, they kind of learn and should know that even if they don't find a 12-step meeting or go to a 12-step meeting every day, that they need to know where they are in case a situation arises where, they need to get to a meeting. If crisis hits or you get in a bad frame of mind and you can't get a hold of somebody, a friend or a sponsor, that you should always be able to make a meeting and have that list handy and maybe even have a couple in the back of your mind all the time. That in case of emergency, this is where I can go. Well, for those without an addiction and that don't run to 12-step programs when that happens, the next best thing, but probably the best thing and that you can go to any, you know, just about any time will be to a church. Now, you know, that brings into the question the idea of our churches being opened. And it was interesting today, before coming out to the radio, I was down in Grace Ferry. And I don't know why, but Father and I have our offices right across the street from St. Gabriel's Church, where the Matt Talbot Shrine is. And like 11:30 this morning, I walked across the street, like the church would be open, the shrine would be open. And I go over and I pull on the door. Sorry, it's a heavy door. I give it a yank and it didn't budge. And it's like, what? What? Eh? And then I realized that it was Wednesday, not Thursday. And I would have loved to have been able to make a visit. I certainly understand that it's not open. But there's, you know, I think that Our Lady has requested that our churches be open, whether it's through our apparitions at Medjugorje. And, you know, I understand the apprehension of some people to do that, especially if there isn't going to be somebody in the church all the time that you know, not necessarily a security guard, but at least people that can get in touch with somebody, you know, should somebody show up. But, you know, how beautiful it would be to have all our churches open again. I remember as a young man, certainly, just about all of them were open any given time. So it looks like perhaps at least one person got tired of listening to me talk, and we're going to go to Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Bob. How are you, brother?
I'm having trouble hearing you. What's wrong with Don's phone? Come on.
Pull over and get a good connection, brother.
Can you hear me?
Barely. Yeah. You're going in and out.
Yeah,
I'm going to put you on hold, Bob. And, yeah, I think Bob's over in South Jersey. It sounds like he's on the road, so maybe he can get to a spot where he has a good connection, he can give us a shout back. But you know, speaking of the daily communicants, I know Bob's one, some of these folks, you know, they're double dipping. They'll go once in the morning, and then if we have a Calyx Mass at night, or Father McKay offers a, you know, another Mass on Wednesdays and Fridays, you know, double dip. Father McKay says it all the time. You know, if there's something that you really want or really need, you know, you ask for it at the second Mass. And, you know, what a gift it is to not only be able to attend one Mass, but sometimes two in a given day. And, again, there's still places in the world where I think they may not even be able to get Mass on a weekly basis. You know, they're counting on that missionary to show up, you know, every other week or once a month and whatever it is. So while we have the opportunity, take advantage of it. And, and get there as often as you can. The other, the other thing that Bosco mentioned, you know, was frequent confession, and you know, what a gift that is. Somebody was sharing last night at Calyx that they were, you know, go every month or try to go every month, but it kind of passed by, and next thing you know, 3 or 4 months went by, and they hadn't been to confession. And you know, I was sharing with the group, I have trouble remembering what I did last week, let alone last month or 2 months ago or 3 months ago. And, you know, I try to get there every week if I can, and sometimes, you know, every other week at the most, just because I want to go while it's fresh on my mind, especially if they're, you know, it's a recurring or something that seems to be coming habitual. And we go there for the grace, right? The sacrament is something instituted by Christ that gives grace. And so as frequently as we go, Holy Communion and confession, it just means more grace for us. So by all means, when it's available, take advantage of it. We're approaching the bottom of the hour already, believe it or not. And when we come back, we're going to have a Is That Odd or Is That God segment. I want to hear from you and find out what God has done in your life in the last couple of weeks so that we can witness to one another. And I'll give you the phone numbers, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free, 888-343-2484. That's 343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of seed faith? The biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston. And just a reminder that Father McKay is not with us today. Unfortunately, he's under the weather and resting up. So I'd ask you to keep Father in your prayers, and hopefully he will rejoin us again next Wednesday. We got a number of Calyx groups here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and nearby Wilmington, Delaware. Quick rundown. We get together every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. At always starts at 6 o'clock. All but the third Tuesday, we're in the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson. We got a nice granite plaque out front. It says Matt Talbot Chapel, so you can find us. On the third Tuesday, we are in St. Gabriel's Church, and this month that'll be on February the 21st. We had over 70 people there, or about 70 people there last month, and it's starting to grow. So if you, someone you know, is either in recovery or struggles with addiction, by all means, come down and join us, as that's who we pray for. The Unit of Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. The next meeting will be tomorrow night, February the 2nd. The Unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary meets in Media. And on the second Saturday of the month, they go to the 5 o'clock p.m. Vigil Mass and have a Calyx meeting after. Father McKay is there each month. Their next meeting will be on Saturday, February the 11th. The unit at my home parish, St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside, we meet on the third Saturday of the month. We go to the 8:30 morning mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and we'll be there the third Saturday of this month, which I believe is the 17th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month with the 4 o'clock vigil mass, followed by their Calyx meeting, and they'll be getting together on the last Saturday in February. They just met this past weekend. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, the Calyx group there meets every Wednesday. That's this evening. There's a 6:15 p.m. mass, again at St. Matthew's, followed by their Calyx meeting. Stop down and visit my friend Sheila, and she'd be more than happy to introduce you to the folks that are down there. All right, we're going to go to our Is That Odd or Is That God? And we got a couple callers on the line. It looks like Bob was able to find a spot with a better connection. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Ken. Yeah, I was crossing the Ben Franklin Bridge when I tried to talk to you.
Oh.
But right now I'm in the parking lot of the Shrine of St. John Newman, St. Peter the Apostle Church.
Very good.
On North 5th and Girard.
Yep.
And I just want to say, there are now 8 cars in this parking lot. There's 50 spaces in this parking lot and 50 spaces across the street. I mean, that's amazing for a downtown Philadelphia church, you know?
Yeah.
But I wanted to, like, give a shout-out to this church because we're talking about daily mass. They have a 7 a.m., a 12:15, and a 5:30. I'm here for the 5:30. But the thing is, they have confession every day, 11:45 a.m., and 5 p.m. And when you think about it, that's like a spiritual emergency ward. You know, when you have to go to the hospital because, you know, you're bleeding to death and you've got to find that emergency ward. Well, sometimes you need a spiritual emergency ward. This place is it because, like I say, every single day, 11:45 and 5 p.m., confession. Now, in New Jersey, Our Lady of Guadalupe has a 7 p.m. mass every single day, and they have confessions from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. You know, that's another emergency ward. You know, in New Jersey, I have 6:30 a.m., 7 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock mass with the 7 o'clock. Yeah, it's everywhere. We're so fortunate here. I used to think of Boston as the American Vatican. I think Philadelphia is the American Vatican. They have everything.
Amen.
You know? I mean, it's just such a luxury to have all of this. You know, like right here, you know?
Amen.
And real quick, I just want to say about John Bosco. I went to a Salesian high school for the first 2 years, and John Bosco was so smart. His high school's a trade school. You get out of that school, you get a job, you know? Especially now when college has become unaffordable and almost irrelevant. I mean, you graduate with a degree in medieval French art history, you're not getting a job.
All right.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just wanted really to emphasize this place, you know, St. John Newman with the confessions twice a day, every day. You know, it's just so important.
Amen.
All right, I'll shut up.
And now that's fine. And now you're going to go ahead and move to Fruitland Park, Florida. You're going to have to find all new places.
Well, I did because my friends, we fish from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. And my masses are 7:15 and 8:30. So I had to find a noon and I found a 5:30 at night in case they fish longer, you know?
Amen.
Because I do love God, but I do love to fish. So one won't interfere with the other.
Yeah, well, God,
I'm waiting for him to make me a fisher of men. But.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he used to say that all the time when I was fishing on the Jersey Shore. You know, Lord, let me catch a striper and then I'll become a fisher of men. And it seems to have worked. No, but
there you go.
Amen. So, but always good to hear from you, brother. Thanks for the call.
Yep. All right. Very good. Take care.
You too. God bless.
Bye bye.
And we're going to go to Mike. Hello, Mike. Michael.
Good man. Good to hear you.
What's going on, brother?
Taking up all the airtime.
You're going in and out on me. Are you all right? You in a good area?
Oh, my God. Really?
No, there you go. Yeah, now I can hear you.
All right, good. Yeah, listen, who is that, Boston Bob, taking up all the airtime?
Yeah, Fruitland. It's not Boston Bob anymore. It's Fruitland Bob.
Oh, right. That's right. How about that?
Yeah.
But anyway, at the meeting today, we had it was like... own your higher power, and everybody who shared, they went by God, you know, and it was a good meeting, and there were so many out of God situations that people talked about, you know, and they also talked about not believing in God because something happened to them, was a punishing God, and I was the same way, but when I got sober, it was totally different. I looked at it through an adult's eyes and how I was revealed to it, and I was saying that like we were kids, like, you know, sin is self-induced, and like I don't think they was a punishing God. They were just saying when you sin, like, these are the consequences, you know, there's consequences for sinning, and that's why we have confession. But then Father says about confession and the conversion, and he says that, like, confession is just opens up more conversion, you know, and through the grace of God, and how true that is, you know, and I learn every day, just believing, and thank God for Pat Kennedy. Patrick comes through all the time for me, with Mass in the morning, and once I get there, it's like I'm so glad to hear the homily, receive the Eucharist, and my day is so much different. You know what I mean? And it's less cursing, and the F bomb, and I really have to work on that. But it just more is revealed to you. You know what I mean? Just
Amen.
Your behaviors, your defects, and. You know, so when I can, I try to make it as much as I can. It's definitely on I always go on Sundays, but even a daily Mass, how it helps you with your character defects and then with the 6 and 7 sets, for me is an examining of conscience on 6, and 7 is going to confession with your shortcomings and being absolved from it helps me look at the things that I'm doing wrong and try to become a better person. But, you know, we talk about the saints every week, and they're just confirmation of my religion, like the martyrs and the saints. Like, you know, it's just like it can't be a coincidence. Like, it's got to be God. And like, there's so many saints and martyrs and like. You know, why do they give up their life? Because it's true, you know.
Amen.
You know, so I figure I stepped in and get some air time.
All right.
You know, just let you know where I'm coming from.
Nah, I appreciate it, brother. Thanks for the call, as always.
All right, Ken. I'll talk to you later.
All right, be good.
All right, hang in there.
You
too.
Bye-bye now. You know, just a couple of examples. The guys that are calling in. Or people, if you knew them a few years ago, 30 years ago, you'd never think that they'd be folks that would become daily communicants. And yet God has seen fit to allow that to happen in their lives, in my life, in Patrick's life. And, you know, if God wants to do it with us, he can do it with anybody. You know, we just have to give him the opportunity and give him our yes, give him our fiat, and he can do it. You know, a couple, you know, outer gods that just happened in the last 2 days. One of them was yesterday. You know, I mentioned Father McKay's is under the weather. And he had an opportunity to get out of town yesterday afternoon, you know, under the guise of the idea that he didn't want to get me sick. So I could still come to work. His apartment is above our offices. And so he fled the scene. And before he left, why don't you try a couple of priests and see if you can get one to come offer Mass for us last night at our Calyx meeting. And I reached out to one, and it was on short notice. I wasn't holding out much hope, and reached out to one priest, and he couldn't make it. He had already had plans he couldn't change. When I went to reach out to the second one, I looked at it, and it's like, oh, it's noontime. There's no way he's going to be able to make it. And so we decided we would just expose the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle in our little chapel there and pray the rosary. And we've done that in the past. No big deal. And 5 minutes to 6, right before we're ready to get started, talking to a couple people about logistics. and walk down the steps into the chapel, and who's sitting there but our newest friend, Father Michael Shea from the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Germantown. He came down a couple of weeks ago on our third Tuesday and helped Father McKay with hear confessions and offered Mass for us. And apparently he got a lot out of it and enjoyed being with us, so much so that just for the heck of it, he decided to drive down to Grace Ferry last night. And I think he was coming to be ministered to, but as God would have it, we asked him if he would be kind enough to offer Mass for us. And he did. You know, it was like Otter God that that he showed up without being asked. And God just happened to put him in the right place at the right time. You know, for about 30, you know, I think there was more than 30 people at the at our Mass last night. And I'm sure that they relished that Mass a lot more than they would have with adoration and a rosary. Not that they're not that they're bad things. It's just it's not the same. You know, the always sacrifice of the Mass is the penultimate thing that we can do as Catholics. And adoration and rosary are a close second. And of course, that rosary being one of the best weapons we have in this spiritual warfare that we're participating in these days. And then the second Otter God happened this morning. Some of you are aware, I joined a group of mostly women. Deacon John Thompson and I, and you know, a dozen to 20 women that get together Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. Over it, it's over the an app or the computer, and we've been reading the Book of Heaven. And I've been talking to Father Celso a couple of times over the last couple of weeks about an upcoming retreat that's going to be at Malvern, June 30th to July 2nd. We're still nailing down all the details, but it's basically going to be a divine will retreat. Father Celso will be there, among others. So, but in talking to him, we got talking a little bit about the history of the Book of Heaven. And, you know, he was saying, yeah, back in 1996 on the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord is when the 36 volumes written by Louisa Picaretta, all based on her interactions with Jesus Christ over the course of almost 40 years, that it was on that day, that presentation in 1996, that those writings were released from the secret archives, if you will, of the Vatican. And, you know, he was explaining, they're not really the secret archives, they're just the Pope's archives. He decides when things come out and when things go in. But, and there's not a whole lot secret about it, just other than, in this case, they were ready to bring those writings out and begin to review them. And, of course, in 2005, when Louisa Picaretta was made a servant of God, they started to publish those writings in English. We're still waiting on the official translation. It's been a few years in the making, and hopefully they'll be released soon. But the ones that are available are certainly good. They're just not made for, you know, public use, if you will. They're reserved, I think, for private use. At least volumes 10 to 36, or 20 to 36, 1 to 19. I have a Nihil Obstat and Imprimatur from Louisa's spiritual director, St. Honorable de Francia. But anyway, the Otter God here is that this morning at our gathering, we finished volume 36, and we will start over again with volume 1 beginning tomorrow morning. And it just happens to be the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord, again, in 1997, when those writings came out of the secret archives. So I just thought, you know, is that odd or is that God that we're going to start on volume 1 on the same day that they came out? For those that might be interested in joining us, we usually talk about it on the last Wednesday of the month when we have Peter DePalma on and occasionally a guest talking about the gift of the divine will. But if you're interested in joining us, you can shoot me an email at ken@inhissign.com. That's ken@inhissign.com. And I'll get right back to you with everything you need in order to hook up with us You know, whether it's tomorrow or next week or next month, you know, whenever the Lord moves you, if that's something you think that that you would like to do. So, we got just about 8 minutes left in this show, and I'll give you out the phone numbers one more time in case you want to call in. The number's 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906, or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. In the first segment today, we talked about the saint that we celebrated yesterday, St. John Bosco. And just in these last few minutes, I want to talk about one of my favorites. And I say that because being a product of 12 years of Catholic school, one of the rituals, the annual rituals that we always had in the beginning of February was the Feast of St. Blaise. And I remember all the way back, I don't know if it's first grade, but as a young kid, and, you know, the teachers lining us up on the Feast of St. Blaise, and we would go down to church and get our throats blessed with candles. And I think it may have been the first go-round of February when Father McKay and I started doing this show that I actually understood or learned about, you know, why we do that. But Blaise lived back in the 4th century, you know, he didn't have a whole lot of success as a priest. He did, I got too confused here. This feast is celebrated around the various churches, but especially in the Eastern Church in 1222. The Council of Oxford prohibited servile labor in England. And so it was so important that it was almost like a Sunday in England where they weren't able to work. The Germans and Slavs also held them in special honor. And for decades here in the United States, sought the annual blessing for their throats. So he was martyred in the city of Sebastia in Armenia in the year 316. We know most of what we know about him from a book called The Acts of St. Blaise, which were written but 400 years after he passed. He was a good bishop and, encouraged spiritual and physical health of the people. And he was another one that encouraged frequent communion. But he would go off and live as a hermit. And apparently, kind of like a St. Francis of Assisi, made friends with the wild animals. And a group of hunters had come out, and they were looking for wild animals, of course, to hunt. And they happened to stumble across St. Blaise out there. They were initially surprised, frightened, and then they saw the bishop was kneeling, and apparently he was surrounded by wolves and lions and bears, aha. And so, you know, obviously making friends with them, but they turned around and wanted to take him to prison, and while they were on their way, they come across a mother whose young son had a fishbone lodged in his throat. And apparently Blaise commanded the child, and he was able to cough up the bone. And as a result, all of us for 8 years of Catholic school at Holy Martyrs in Orland, and I'm sure your Catholic schools, wherever you went here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, on February 3rd or close to it, you would go to church and get your throat blessed. And I always wondered, you know, why we did it. For whatever reason, I got frequent sore throats, and I don't know if they coincided with the blessing of throats or not, if they held them off for a while, especially in these winter months when we tend to get more sore throats than we would in the summer. But it's one of those things that it's one of those great memories I have coming up and going to Catholic school. It was those little things we did. And, you know, the other one was, of course, going to First Friday Mass. The Sisters of Mercy there at Holy Martyrs made sure that we got the Mass every First Friday. And in the school year, you probably got the nine in if you weren't absent on First Friday. Of course, the First Friday devotion. And so this week you get a twofer, right? It's First Friday and the Feast of St. Blaise, so you can make First Friday Mass and get your throat blessed, hopefully, at the same time. I know some churches, parishes will move it to the Sunday to make it available to more folks, but I would imagine that quite a few parishes will be blessing throats this coming Friday. And, you know, it's one of the gifts of being brought up in a Catholic family. Even though we didn't do everything right, and we're going to talk, I think, quite a bit about that in the next hour with Debbie Cowden and, you know, the book she's written, especially for families, for parents. And it's a book that I wish I had when I got married and started having children. My life may have turned out a little bit differently, or certainly would have happened sooner than it did, I think. But to be able to look back on those fond memories and to have the gift of my Catholic faith, and even though I didn't understand everything that was going on around me and why we did the things that we did, when the time came and Boston Bob mentioned it earlier when he called, you know, I knew where the field hospital was. I knew where to turn when my life really took a turn for the worse. And, you know, it wasn't the church right away, but, you know, it was folks that told me that the only way that I was going to survive was through a relationship with God. And, you know, initially I thought, oh, that's easy. I know who God is. And I, you know, went back to my childlike thoughts of who he was. My theology probably stopped when I was in sixth or seventh grade. So I had a 12 years old. And so that I had a 12-year-old idea of who God was and what God did and what he would do for me. And, you know, over the next 30 years, I've been so blessed to grow in my faith, and only through the help of, you know, those that have come before me, and especially the fantastic priests that God's put in my life. And, you know, some of them were there when I was a kid and I went back to when I found out I had to, you know, get this God thing if I was going to survive. And, you know, the great priest that, you know, God puts in my life today. I had somebody go through the contacts on my phone. They asked for somebody's number and handed my phone. And they must have had to scroll through the Fs. And there must be four or five screens of FR, 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 priest after priest. And, you know, I get this weird look. It's like, who are all these priests? And I just had to say that I was blessed. You know, not only that I know their names, but that I, you know, for whatever reason, I have their phone numbers, whether they're, you know, priests that assist at Calix or have been retreat directors on retreats I've been on and coordinated. You know, however, you know, God managed to put them in my path, you know, they were kind enough to give me their number and folks that I can reach out to anytime if I really need them. And that's just how God operates. I just watch more and more these days how God connects the dots, and it's all about the relationships. And I've shared it a couple times over the last week that, you know, all these connections that God has made in my life, they never came a minute early and they never came a minute late. They were always right on time. And we need to keep our eyes and our minds, our hearts, our souls open to it and watch for it and let God do it. And when he does, the sky's the limit, you know. Heaven's the limit, you know. That's where we're headed anyway. But we need to be in tune. We need to be looking for it. And most importantly, we need to allow God to do it. So that just about wraps up the first hour today with Saints and Sinners. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to have our guest Debbie Cowden on, and we're going to be talking about tired parents and what they can do with our Catholic faith to help raise great families. Don't go away. We'll be right back.